The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the Kisser Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzer365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Micha Cohen.
Simon Kuf Tzadi Zayin. This is the second shir in this simon, and we're continuing to discuss the halachas, the laws that talk about how the body is prepared for burial. Sif Ches. Kishamaitzinas Hameis Minabais, when they take out the deceased person's body from the house, Yeshizar, they should be careful, Shalayetze Adam Rishon, that a person shouldn't walk out in front of the deceased body. But those that are actually holding the stretcher, that have to go out first, in order to carry him, that's okay. Now this is a inyan of sakon, there's a danger here, a supernatural type of danger, and therefore it's not supposed to be done. Now, Sif Tes talks about situations where the regular Tara process can't be done, because the person was in an accident, they were injured, and we're afraid if we're going to cleanse them, then we're going to wash away blood that's supposed to be buried. Now, there's the discussion in Paiskim as far as what blood is mandatory that it should be buried, and that blood is the Dam HaNefesh. Any blood that left at the time of death, let's say if a person died from a wound, so that blood, there's an obligation to bury. Blood that came in afterwards, or the custom is to bury it, but it's not the same obligation. Now, if there is concern about losing Dam HaNefesh, then that supersedes doing a regular Tara. Whereas other Dam, we try as much as possible to bury, but it's not as ma'akev, it's not as important. So it says the following, Misha Nafa Me'elav Umeis Miyad, a person who say, fell off a roof, and they died immediately because of the accident, Im Yesh Psam Begufay V'yotzi Men Odam, if they have cuts and wounds on their body, and blood came out through them, Vim Kain Yeshlocho Shema Nivla Dam HaNefesh B'Vgadav U'B'Menalav, and therefore there's a concern that some of that blood that's on the clothing or on the shoes is the Dam HaNefesh, is the Dam that came out at the time of death. L'chein Eim Etar Ma'aseh, therefore we don't wash them off because we don't want to wash away that blood. But we bury him with the clothing on. But above the clothing, we wrap Pesad and Shekar and Soviv, they wrap him in a white sheet. Now, this halacha applies to any situation where a person died from a wound. So if the person is actually wearing those clothing when they died, so then we're concerned that the blood that came out at that point was the blood that would be considered Dam HaNefesh. If the person, say, was in the accident, but then they were brought to the hospital and they died later, so the blood that was on their clothing at the time of the accident was not Dam HaNefesh, then it would be less stringent. And that's why the Kitzer is very careful, and he wrote Rumeis Miyad, that the person died right away, because if the person would not have died right away, then it would be not the same concern. Now let's continue in the Kitzer. Noegin Lachbar Bekarka Shenafal Sham. Now also, the place where the person fell, the custom is to dig to the ground. Im Yesham Dam, because maybe there's blood that came from the person at the time when he passed away. V'chein Bekarv Lion, and close there. Bekarvin Isaimai, and we bury with him as kol aha offer sheish b'dam, any of the offer, any of the dirt that has the blood in it. Now, unfortunately, in situations of terrorism in Eretz Yisrael, so the Chevra Kadisha there, Zaka, they are very careful about this, that obviously the victims that were killed from the time of the blast, so the blood that's over there that's real dama nefesh, and that's a real obligation to bury. So that's why they're very careful to remove all that blood, to use cotton to absorb it, and then to put it all in proper burial, because there's a very big obligation to bury all of that. Now the kitzur continues, v'dafka b'vgadav shahaya lavush b'hem karvin imay. This halacha that says that the clothing that he was wearing at the time when he died and had these wounds, he said that's specifically the clothing that he was wearing. Dafka b'vgadav shahaya lavush b'hem karvin I say. Well, the nasan min adam al shah b'gadim. What happens, let's say, that they brought him into the house and he was laying over there on a pillow, and that pillow got blood on it, and he died at that time. She'enoi malubash b'hem, but he's not wearing it. V'cheinim hinichu al karm uksasus, like the example I just gave, that they rested him on pillows and blankets. V'dayin adam yaitse, and the blood is coming out. Enon tzrichin kfura, it does not need to be buried. And as though all those blankets do not need to be buried. Ela yechabsum heitiv, actually yishabem reishim dam, but they should be washed well, that it should be noticeable, the imprint of the blood. V'amayim yishpuchu l'sev kifrei. So then, they could just take the water that they washed out the blood with, and that they could just bury that. They don't have to actually bury the pillow or the sheet that got the blood on it. Now, there is some discussion here exactly what we're talking about. From the kitzur, it seems that we're talking about that the actual dama nefesh, the actual blood from the time of death, that was the blood that went onto these other garments, these other articles of cloth, either the pillow or the blanket, and one's not mechuyev to have to bury those, and it's enough to wash it out. Some learn that we're talking about that it didn't come at the time of death. And as let's say the person really died from the impact, but then they just brought him inside and laid him down, and that's when they pronounced him dead, but he was really already dead before, so then that wouldn't be the dam hanefesh, so therefore that's the reason why it's more lenient. So again, the point is the following, that when it comes to actual dam hanefesh, it's more serious, and that's why the clothing, at least, we definitely bury him with those clothing. Now, other articles, it seems that the reason why we don't necessarily have to do that is because since a person will have a loss, so it's enough to wash them. But definitely something, if the blood came out on the pillows, not at the actual time of death, but afterwards, so it's not the same obligation, because even though with this obligation to bury parts of the body, but blood that didn't come out at the time of death, it's not the same level of obligation. Now, there's a discussion in Pesachim, let's say, about taking a sample of blood or other fluids from the nifter. So, I believe Ramesh Feinstein writes that just to take a little bit of fluid is not necessarily nivul ha'meis, it's not necessarily mutilating the person. Now, as far as the obligation of kfura, that there should be an obligation to bury that blood, so as we learned over here, if it's not dama nefesh, if it's not blood from the actual time of death, then if there's a good reason why they need the blood, then it would be less serious. Another interesting discussion that the Pesachim talk about is that we know in the embalming process, they would let out all the fluids of the body, and that's how they were able to embalm. So they asked, how are they able to do that? Isn't there at least at some level an obligation to bury all those fluids? So some Mefarshim, the Chasam Sofer, learns that they were able to embalm in Egypt, say with Yaakov Avinu, they were able to embalm from the outside without having to let out all the fluids. That's an interesting approach, because again, they otherwise would have a problem that you have to bury all those fluids. Now there could be those that held that for the purpose of embalming, might be allowed to let out those fluids and bury them a different way, but at least according to the Chasam Sofer, he said no, that they weren't being lenient on that point, but they had a way of embalming, even though they didn't remove all those fluids. Now the Kitzur continues, Im la yotzim imenu dam. Now if this person died, but he was, didn't bleed, Pashtim begadav, so they remove the clothing, Wataranaisai, and they cleanse the body. Umalbishanaisai tachrichin, and they put shrouds, Kishar mesim. As even though he died from the accident, but we still do a regular Tara process. Chemi shenitva mine, and also someone who drowned, Pashtim begadav. We remove the clothing, within a Kishar mesim. Now, what's going on over here is in the Kitzur is that we're going to see more about this, that there are those places that had a custom that for whatever reasons, they would not remove the clothing of the person that they died in them, if they died from an accident. And the Kitzur is saying that, halachically, there's not really a problem in doing so, as long as there's no issue of the Dama Nefesh. So therefore, if the person didn't bleed, let's say they drowned, then you could definitely remove the clothing and do a regular Tara process. But he does bring a custom at the end of the Yesh Mekaymus Nagin Likvar Gaman Etboim Bevigdayim, that there's they have custom to bury those that drown in clothing as well, just like a person who died of a wound. Shinun Subahem Vehechad Nog Nog, and if that's the custom, that's the custom. Again, these things have to do with a lot of supernatural type of ideas, and we for each community should follow its own minhagim. Now let's continue with Sif Yud. Afil yotzim enu dam ela shekvar pasak. Now, even if some blood did come out of the person, but it stopped, hupashtos begadav, and so what happened was the person had a wound, and then it stopped, hupashtos begadav, and they removed those clothing, v'chai achar zeh es yamim. A person lived a few days, v'achar kach meis, and the person then died. Ba'achar kach meis mitarim oisai. So then they do a regular tara of oisai le'tachrichin, and they use the regular shrouds. Af al pi shehu meluchach midam shiyatsim menu. Even though the person still has the blood on him, afil hachi mitarim oisai. Because if we know for sure that the blood that's on him came from when he was still alive, then there's no obligation to bury that blood. And therefore, it's not a problem. Ki ein lachush l'dam shiatsim menu b'chayiv, because if a person bleeds when they're alive, it's not a problem. El l'dam shiatsim menu b'shas misa. The issue is only blood from the time of death, or later. Chayshin and shema hu dam ha-nefesh. We're afraid that maybe that's the blood of the nefesh. Hashemah is our boy dam ha-nefesh, so maybe it was mixed together. So again, the bottom line is that a person who died of a wound, but we know that that wound stops bleeding before the death, so therefore, if the person does have the blood on them, that they can be cleaned and have a normal Tara process. The Kitzur continues with Sif Yud Aleph. Yoledes Shemesa Machmas Leda. A woman who dies during childbirth, Dino Keharg. She has the same status as a person that was killed, meaning to say that since the hemorrhaging is obviously contributed to the death, so therefore we see that that's part of its dama nefesh, maybe the dama of the soul, and therefore one's not allowed to remove clothing or items that became soiled with blood at the time of the death, and that's why a normal tar would not be done. She'im yadua she'asim menu damim merubim, that if it's known that a lot of blood came out, so they don't not perform a tara. Well, in kvar kolo adam latzeis, but if she was not bleeding anymore, hachakach meis, and then she passed away, she'ein l'sapik b'dam ha-nefesh, and then we don't have a concern that maybe there's dam ha-nefesh mixed in. Oisin lakish k'mal l'shar meis, and then she receives a regular treatment that we do for regular deceased. It continues and says, "V'harbik hilus noigin l'tara kol yoledes." It says, but some communities they perform a tara in all situations of a woman in childbirth that passes away. V'agish ezim and hagim yoledes. There are other customs. V'echad the nog nog, and whatever the custom is, that's what it is. Now let's continue with Sif Yud Beis. Hanerek alidei Erev Tikechavim, one was killed by non-Jews, v'ilu lo yasimenu dam klal, even if they didn't bleed at all, kegoin shenechnak, like the person was choked, karvin isai k'moy shenimtza, the person is buried the way they are, kedei lahalis chema, to arise anger. Meaning to say that the halacha is, or the custom was, that they wanted people to feel the how wrong it is that happened. So therefore, the custom was to bury the person as is, sort of not to take away from the strength of those feelings. Now I'm not sure exactly what the purpose of that anger would be, but possibly it could be because they want to make sure that there's justice done to the person that killed them. So therefore, if people are going to sort of forget about it, then it's one thing. Well, over here, is if it's very strong in people's mind what happened, so then they're going to go to the authorities and going to make sure that justice is done. That could possibly be an explanation for what this is. Let's continue with Sif Yud Gimel. Mace, a person that passed away, Bein Ein Yehudi, Bein Yisrael, whether it's a Jewish person or non-Jewish person, to the body themselves, v'tachrich of us asurim b'hanas. One is not allowed to derive benefit from a person's body that passed away, or from other clothing that they are buried with. Now, this concept, this idea, comes up in many different ways in halacha. For example, there's a discussion about, is a person allowed to witness a dissection of a cadaver? And there are those that say, well, you're deriving benefit by watching it. Now others say that no, it's only a problem if one does it physically. So if a person does it physically, then that would be the problem. There's also a prohibition of nivala meis, which would be like to mutilate a dead body. And that's a discussion on Paiskim, whether it applies to non-Jew or not. But this comes up in general about the whole concept of dissection of a cadaver, because dissecting the person is definitely causing nivala meis, which would definitely be an issue. Donating organs is something that also comes up in this whole discussion, and from the early tshuvas actually that discussed this in the Binyan Siyan and others in the 1800s. The question was raised, the fact that really two different issues. One issue is that you're benefiting from a dead person. That's one problem. The other problem is there's an issue of nivul hameis. Now the other discussion that really was the original discussion that they talked about was the whole concept about making autopsies. In other words, they're doing it for research, they're doing it to find out information of why the person died, so that could be useful. On the other hand, it's mutilating the body of the deceased. Now, this famous tshuva of the Nebi Huda asked whether it was permitted to do it. The case was that a person had gallstones and bladder stones, and the person died from the bladder stones. They wanted to perform an autopsy and to be able to learn from it. So the Yehuda writes in his tshuva that if there was another person who has the same condition, there's a real chance that they'll be able to learn from it something useful to save the other person, then it would be permitted because of the concept of pikuach nefesh. But he says since it's not so clear whether they could learn anything from it, it's more speculative, so therefore we can't do it. Now this tshuva from the Yehuda sort of is a very important tshuva because he sort of sets up the ground rules for when something is called pikuach nefesh or not. And basically he says that it has to be more concrete than speculative. If it's just speculative, then it's not enough to make it pikuach nefesh. Now, there are those that had an interesting argument and wanted to say that an autopsy would be prohibited even in the case of pikuach nefesh. And the reason is because there's a discussion. We know that there are three cardinal sins, three averas chamuras, that even if a person will lose their life, that we still have to keep them and not transgress. And those three are gilui rayos, immorality, shufas dam, murder, and avodah zarah, and idolatry. But what about stealing? So there's a Rashi that seems to say that stealing without the intent of paying it back is also one must give their life for. Now, if a person's in a situation that they're going to starve, so then they can take money with intent of paying it back. And hopefully they'll eventually pay it back. But to steal without the intention of paying it back, that, according to some Paiskim, has the same status as the three cardinal sins. So, based on this argument, there are those that say, that if you're going to mutilate a person's body, so that belongs to them, or you're going to take their organs, so that belongs to them, so you're stealing from them. And therefore, that's an avera that doesn't have a heter of pikuach nefesh. So therefore, even in such a situation, it would be prohibited. Now, other Paiskim disagreed, and they said that first of all, it's questionable whether or not there is such a restriction of stealing for pikuach nefesh in general, but also, if the person, it's not necessarily so that a person's an owner of their body. So if, according to the Torah, they would be allowed to give the organ because it's pikuach nefesh involved, then it doesn't seem to, it's not clear that it's considered their possession, that they would be considered stealing. There are those that also pointed out that in a situation where the person expressly said that they want their organs to be donated to other people, or they want their body to be used for research, then you wouldn't have the issue of stealing. But you would have the general question of whether or not it falls to the category of pikuach nefesh. Now, on a practical level, the basic idea is that, generally speaking, we definitely do not do an autopsy. In a criminal situation, the police can say that would be permitted. But generally, we do not do an autopsy. But in certain situations where there's a concrete feeling that there's something unique to be gained, very very concrete from the situation, that could be different. Also, if they don't actually have to open up the body, but they just have to take out fluids, as we mentioned before, that could be more lenient. There are situations, let's say, of a stillbirth. The child was born stillborn, that they want to know if there's a genetic correlation or not. So over there, it may be permitted to do a biopsy, because first of all, taking that small amount of tissue may not be considered to be nivel, because it's such a small amount. And also, it's from a child that's a nafel that doesn't have the full status of a regular person, because they didn't live 30 days. So those two things together may be a reason to say that it would be permitted. So basically, this is a sort of a quick discussion about the idea of not having benefit from the body of a deceased person, and how it affects autopsies and transplants and these different areas in halacha. Now, it says, V'chein noi hameiz ha-mechubarim b'gufoi, that things that were attached to the person at the time that they died, and considered part of them, could go and pay a nachras, like a wig, shen k'shurin a-kluon b'soich sa-raisav, that were woven into the hair, asurim b'hano, that one's not allowed to benefit from them. V'chein im ho-yaloi shen te-seves. Also, if a person had a false tooth, you cover imay, should be better with them. But it's something that's to beautify them, but it's not attached to the body. That it's not looked as part of the body. Like jewelry, and clothing, it's permitted in all situations. So basically, we have this idea that something that's considered to be part of the body, also has not allowed to have benefit from, especially if it was on at the time of death. So that would be, let's say, false teeth. So there's a discussion here, you know, especially in the old days, you know, and people have had, you know, gold fillings, you know, what about that gold? So it's brought that those fillings should have the halacha of a wasabanah. One cannot have benefit from them. Now, those that want to distinguish between if people had like a decorative type of filling where they just would put it in for beauty, maybe that would be different. But things that are really part of the body, that would be considered to be a problem. Now, there's a discussion about different medical devices. Let's say a pacemaker and these types of devices, where whether or not you consider them to be part of the body, there's a good argument to say that the intention is not to keep it there forever. You have to change it so it may not be considered part of the body. But these are different questions that the Paiskim discuss. But definitely items that are like jewelry or clothing, that's not part of the body. Now, it mentioned over here a wig. Now, today, the sheitlach, the wigs that women wear, so the hair is on a net. It's not really connected to their body. It's just a piece of clothing. And if you look over here in the kitzer, it says, peyanachas, shenkshu, nakaluan, besaych seroysav, that it's actually woven into the person's hair, which is, in general, an interesting point, because we know that the Paiskim talk about, you know, as far as if a wig is considered to be a proper hair covering for a married woman. And what you see over here is that the peyanachas in the olden days, the hair was actually woven into the natural hair. So it was more like a hair extension than what we know of a sheitel today, which would lend itself to say that today's sheitel is more of like a piece of clothing than actual, the old peyanachas. So it may be considered more of a covering. The same over here would seem also that if halacha l'maaseh, if a married woman passes away wearing a sheitel, that sheitel wouldn't be necessarily considered to be part of her body because it's not woven into her hair. That's how it would seem, at least from the kitzer. So again, the point over here is that something that's considered to be a part of the body, that's an issue, whereas things that are not, they're just for beautification, they're not considered part of the body, then those aren't considered to be part of the person, and therefore those could be removed. Now, say artificial limb or those types of things that are, again, considered to be part of the person's body, then those may be a problem to remove them.